say it one more time. Radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
What the Lord has done. Ephesians chapter 1 verses 3 through 14 records what is called the hymn of grace. It is called this because scholars tell us that these verses record an actual hymn of praise that was sung in worship by the early church. In the original Greek text, these 12 verses comprise only one sentence. In some remarkable way, the Apostle Paul is able to take this complex passage and turn it into a simple exclamation of praise as to what God has done. And this praise is offered to God for the sovereign grace by which he gives sinful people a new position in Christ. Verses 4 through 6 offer praises to God the Father for choosing us for salvation. Verses 7 through 12 offer praises to God the Son for purchasing our salvation with his own blood. And verses 13 and 14 offer praises to God the Holy Spirit for sealing our salvation. This passage is a careful explanation of the message of salvation. But this explanation begins with celebration. Verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places." What does it mean to be blessed? This is one of the fast-growing lists of words in the Christian lexicon that is often misused and misunderstood. That's why there are so many believers who spend their energy chasing down the seemingly elusive blessings of God. That's why there is so much jealousy and rivalry and disunity in the church, because the children of God quietly compete for bigger and better blessings. And then there's the great cover-up of what some might call fake news, but in reality it is breaking news. And the breaking news is that, amen, material and financial things don't really satisfy. And so in the process, the church is now filled with professing Christians whose view of life is no different than the people in the world. So I raise the question with confidence this morning that the right answer can change our lives, the right answers can revive our church, the right answers can strengthen our witness. What does it mean to be blessed? Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 provides clear and comprehensive answers to the question. Look at it again. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places." I submit to you this afternoon, Pleasant Hill, that every person who is united in Christ by faith is already blessed. Notice that this verse does not promise that God will bless us. It does not announce that God is in the process of blessing us right now. I know we like to sing the song, "The Lord is blessing me right now." But rather, it declares that God has already blessed us. Tell your neighbor, it's a done deal. It's a settled reality. It's an unimpeachable position. If you have put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, you are right now already sovereignly, abundantly, and eternally blessed. I wanted to share that with you because so many folk in the church are hating on other folk because of what they drive and what they wear and where they live. But I want to tell you that if you are a blood-bought believer, you have no reason to be jealous or envious or covetous of anybody else because God has already blessed you. Point to yourself and say, "I'm blessed right now." Amen, amen. If you belong to Jesus, you're richly blessed beyond measure. Now, I did not say that you will always feel blessed. The fact is that there will be times when you will feel abandoned, you will feel frustrated, you will feel hurt, neglected, overwhelmed. Sometimes you will feel anything but blessed. But your changing feelings have absolutely no effect on the reality, no effect on the prosperity and security of your blessed position in Christ. Deacon Thompson, when asked how he's doing, he will commonly respond by saying, "I'm too blessed to be stressed." That's a wonderful testimony, but I gotta tell you today that that's not always my testimony. That amen, I'm not always too blessed to be stressed, but I've discovered that you can be blessed and stressed at the same time. And the only way I've been able to handle some of my stressful situations is because I've been able to remind myself that I'm blessed in spite of the stress. Now, come on, I know you saved and sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, free from sin all day long, but don't act like you never have any problems. Don't act like there are never times in your life when you feel like giving up and throwing in the towel. There are never times when you're anxious or any of that, but in spite of all of that, you can still say at the end of the day, "I'm blessed." Where are my blessed folk? Come on, testify. "I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Sinus acting crazy, but I'm blessed. Amen. Amen. Head hurting, but I'm blessed. Ate too much, but I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Amen. In spite of the stress." Ephesians 1 and 3 highlights for us three dynamics of the blessed life. Three dynamics. If you're going to have a blessed life, there are three fundamental things, according to the passage that we're dealing with today, that ought to be present in your life. The first dynamic is that the blessed life demands a proper response. How are you going to respond to your blessed life? What is the proper response to the blessings of God? There are several ways that the writer could have responded to this knowledge of being blessed by God. Amen. It would have been proper if he would have declared, amen, instead of "blessed be God and Father of our Lord." It would have been proper if he would have said, "trust in the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." It would have been appropriate, I guess, if he would have said, amen, serve the God and Father of our Lord Jesus. Those would be two appropriate responses to the knowledge that God has blessed us, that we ought to trust him, that we ought to serve him. But Paul didn't choose any of those legitimate responses to the blessings of God. Amen. Instead, under the divine inspiration of the Holy Ghost, he writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places." I know I'm losing some of you, but just stay with me. Amen. This word blessed literally means to speak well of. You've heard me say it before, it comes from the same Greek word eulogio, the same Greek word that we get the word eulogy from. And so blessed here means to speak well of. What is Paul saying? Paul is saying in a real sense that we ought to eulogize God. We ought to speak well of God. We ought to declare good things about God in grateful praise to him. He's telling us that if you recognize, if you're cognizant of the reality that God has blessed you, yes, you ought to trust him. Yes, you ought to serve him. But Paul says what every believer who understands how blessed they are, what they ought to do is speak well of him. You ought to tell somebody how blessed you are. You ought to share with somebody how blessed you are. You ought to tell them it's a good God. Come on, how many of you know he's a good God that has blessed me? The same root word for blessing is used throughout this verse, but there's a difference between how we bless and how God blesses. Do I have any witnesses today? You see, when God blesses us, watch this, it's both gracious and effectual. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that when God blesses us, it's gracious. That word grace, again, is unmerited favor. It's when God gives us something we don't deserve. And so every believer needs to understand that when God blesses you, he's giving you something you rightly don't deserve. Because we're mean, because we can be low down, because we think bad stuff and we do bad things, because we sin, we fall short of his glory, we really don't deserve any of the blessings that God bestows upon us, but grace says he does it anyway. That's a reason you ought to bless him. But not only does God, when God blesses us, is it gracious, it's also effectual. Because God blesses, watch this, not our greed, he blesses our need. And I can assure you that every blessing that God bestows upon you has a purpose for your life as it relates to your work in his kingdom. So maybe you're scratching your head and you're asking yourself, why didn't I get the Bentley, or why didn't I get the Rolls Royce, or why didn't I get this or get that? It's because when God blesses, not only does he bless us graciously, his blessings are effectual. He's not going to give you something that's going to stop you from serving him, that's going to hinder. Come on. So if God had given you the Bentley or the Rolls Royce, you'd be at home now washing it instead of being here in the house of the Lord. God's blessings are gracious and effectual. That's not how our blessings are. You know, Paul says we ought to bless God because of how he's blessed us. But you do understand that when we bless God, in one sense, our blessing God is useless. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that there is nothing I can do. I can't praise him enough. I can't work enough. I can't, amen, speak well of him enough that it will change the integrity of who he is. Amen. You might be a wonderful singer, but your singing don't make God any bigger. Amen. Thank God. We ought to worship him. We ought to praise him. But understand, my worship nor my praise makes God any bigger or better than he already is. That's why when the psalmist said, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me," you've heard me say before that magnifying doesn't make God bigger. It doesn't expand who he is. But when we magnify God, amen, we simply acknowledge how magnificent he is. We simply acknowledge how awesome he is. Amen. So in a real sense, our blessing God is useless, but he tells us he likes it. That's good enough for me. Do I have a witness today? Amen. But it might be useless in a sense, but I got to tell you that it is deserved. Whenever we bless God, he deserves it. Do I have a witness here today? Whenever we bless God, he deserves it. Amen. He deserves it. When we bless God, it is in a real sense very much deserved because of all that he's done, because of all that he is. How many of you know he deserves our praise? How many of you know he deserves our worship? I challenge myself. I wanted to see, amen, amen, why does God deserve my blessings? And I said I'll go through the alphabet with it and identify alphabetically just some of the reasons why he deserves my praise and he deserves every blessing that I bestow upon him. Because A, he's my Abba Father. He's Almighty God. I love and adore you. You are the Alpha and the Omega, author and finisher of my faith. You are awesome. He deserves it. It's deserved because B, you are beautiful beyond description, my bountiful creator and comforter. In you I find my D, dwelling place. You are my deliverer. You are my E, eternal and everlasting. F, Father, faithful and forgiving always. You are my G, God of glory, the great I am. Your grace is sufficient for me. You are H, my Holy Spirit, my healer, and the most holy one. He is I, incredible, and have made me in your image and likeness. Jesus Christ, my J, Jehovah Jireh. Come on, how many of you know he's a provider? He's the provider of all G, great things, is the King of Kings, and L, Lord of Lords, the light of my world, my M, my majestic Messiah. You are magnificent, mighty, and my merciful Master. Jesus is the N, name above all names. You are oh omnipotent. You are oh omnipresent. You are oh omniscient. You are Jehovah Shalom, my P, my Prince of Peace, perfect in every way. You bless me with your Q, quickening spirit, which produces abundant life for me, my righteous redeemer, my refuge, my sovereign savior, my strong tower. You are my trustworthy teacher. You are my understanding, unwavering in your love. You, I claim victory in Jesus. Is there anybody who's got victory in Jesus? You know he's W, your wise and wonderful counselor, worthy of all praise. X, he's extraordinary, exalted on high. You're the same Y yesterday, today, and forever. Yahweh, my zealous God, you are my world. In you I live, I breathe, and have my being. Is there anybody here who knows he's worthy of the praise? He's worthy of us blessing him. He's worthy of us speaking well of his name. If you believe it, stop right here and take a praise break and thank him for all that he's done. I tell you that when we bless God, it is always deserved. You see, my brothers and sisters, true worship is to be God-centered and not man-centered. Real worship is not about who you are and what you have or how you feel. It's about who God is and what God has done for us through Jesus the Christ. So watch this. When your worship begins to lapse, you can't blame the preacher. You can't blame the choir. You can't blame the musicians. You can't even put it on the atmosphere. Because when you find it difficult to worship God, it only means that you've forgotten what God has done for you through Jesus Christ. If you consider the spiritual blessings that are yours in Christ, you can praise God no matter where you are, no matter who's watching you. Amen. You can be in Walmart and give him praise. You can be at the oil shop and remember a time when you couldn't get your oil changed every 3,000 and every 5,000 miles. But now God has blessed you with the job, and every chance you get, you're getting your tires rotated. Some of you can remember tires that had no tread at all, but now you can go and get new tires. Somebody said, when I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, I've got to give him some praise. He deserves it. So the first dynamic is that the blessed life demands a proper response. But then the second point is that the blessed life demands a powerful recognition. We've got to recognize that we are only blessed in Christ. Look at Ephesians 1 and 3 again. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. This phrase, in Christ, is theological shorthand that describes our spiritual union to, our intimate relationship with, and our new identity in Christ. In fact, the early church and the early Christians, whenever folk would ask them, who are you? They would say, on Cristo. They would simply say, in Christ. Who are you? In Christ. Amen. What's your title? In Christ. What's your position? In Christ. And so often we get caught up in who we are and our titles and our little accolades and all of that, that we forget that the real truth of who I am, amen, it did not start when I got a degree from Southern University. The real truth of who I am, amen, did not start when I got a promotion on my job. The real truth of who I am in Christ started way back on a hill called Calvary, on a cross where Jesus paid his blood. He hung, bled, and died for my sins and my shortcomings. That's where I got to be who I really am. Some folk are afraid to show you who they really are because they think you're not going to like who they really are. As a matter of fact, some folk, amen, amen, don't even love themselves. They don't even really want to, amen, amen, be honest about who they really are because they really don't like themselves. But when you understand and when you start speaking it by faith that everything I am and everything I hope to be is in Christ, amen, it's in Christ, amen, that I live and I move and I have my being. It's in him, amen. And so that ought to tell us that if God ain't looking at all of my shortcomings and all of my failings, but he looks at me and he looks at you and he sees the blood of his son on your life and he sees you as a new creation. That's a powerful recognition that I'm a new creature in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Is there anybody happy today that God ain't looking at you for what you did last night? He's not looking at you for what you did when you were a teenager. He's not, amen, assessing you by the mistakes you made in your life. But when he looks at you, and if the blood of Jesus is on your life, he sees a new creation. That's a powerful recognition. I know who I am. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. His name is Jesus. Give him praise in this place. The blessed life demands a proper response. Amen. We bless God through our worship and our praise. Then secondly, the blessed life demands a powerful recognition. We can only be blessed in him. But then finally, the third dynamic is a prevailing reality. Y'all, the infinite scope of our spiritual blessings in Christ is described in three ways. Our blessing in Christ is sufficient. Tell your neighbor, it's enough. It's enough. Amen. Stop fretting yourself over, amen, that new thing you want. I promise you, you can live without that. If you don't believe me, amen, go with us to New York in August, and I'll show you homeless folk. They don't have homes. They don't have cars. They barely have clothes. Amen. Some of them are sleeping on street benches and all of that, but yet they're surviving. That ought to tell you, you don't necessarily have to have an 8-bedroom home in order to survive. Do I have any witnesses here? Amen. The make and model of your car is not, amen, what's keeping you alive. But it's because of Jesus. There is this prevailing reality that the blessings of God on my life are enough. They are sufficient. What Jesus did for me by securing my salvation on the cross is enough. Amen. Because one day, guess what? I'm going to give up the ghost. One day, yeah, it's going to happen. Amen. Instead of there being communion trays up here, there's going to be a big wide casket up here with Reverend Garner's body in it. Amen. I'm going to have to leave here, and I'm not by myself. We all are going to have to leave here. Amen. And guess what? When we leave here, somebody said there are no U-Hauls behind hearses. When we leave here, we're going to leave homes and clothes and all that stuff that we've accumulated. Some of us got so much stuff, we've got to get storage units just to store the stuff. Amen. Because there's no more room in our homes for all of that stuff. But a day is coming, saith the Lord, when we're going to leave all of that stuff behind. But can I tell you something? I will be all right. I said I will be all right as long as I've got King Jesus. I don't need nothing else. Now, let me tell you before I close that God will bless you with material blessings. I'm not saying he won't bless you with material blessings. The Bible says in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. 2 Corinthians 9:8 declares, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things and at all times, you may abound in every good work. Philippians 4:19 says, and my God shall supply every need according to his riches in glory. So I'm not telling you that God will not bless you with material blessings. I'm just simply telling you that there are blessings that are better than stuff you can wear. There are blessings that are greater than cars you can drive. There are blessings that are more important than stuff you can store in your closet. Is there anybody here who knows that peace is a real good blessing? Because when your mind is troubled, when trouble is all around you, you can't talk to your car and get any peace. You can't talk to your clothes and get any peace. But is there anybody here today who can testify that peace is a real good blessing? I can't touch it. I can't feel it. I can't see it. But I know it when it's there. I'm talking about peace that surpasseth all understanding. I'm talking about peace when folk are lying on you and talking about you, but you go on and go to sleep at night because God gives you peace. Ain't he all right? But then there are